Thank you. Thank you for that complicated reading. So like Kerry said, my name is William. I go to Emory. The most important thing you need to know about me, I love Mexican food, the Dallas Cowboys, and Jesus, mostly not in that order. I am here because I basically want to learn how to be a pastor from Nathan and Kerry, which is kind of actually what we're talking about today. All right, so we are in the middle of about heroes, where we take these historical biblical figures and we look at them and we say, oh my gosh, what can we learn from their lives? Today, you have the treat. We're going to kind of look at two, because Elijah and Elisha are kind of together. So you're going to get a two. It's going to be extra just for that. You know, we're going to push that potluck back. No, I'm just kidding. Someone did tell me to take extra time so their potatoes could finish cooking. We'll see what we can do. But you could. Amen. I need those potatoes. If you would, prayer, and then we'll get started. God, thank you so much that we could gather here with you. God, thank you that we have assembled to praise you, and God, that you are worthy of our praises. God, we ask that you come into this place, that you dwell in our hearts. In 30 minutes, we might be one spirit. God, let your spirit well up with us inside of me. Not let it out. It might burn. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, what we have going on here, we have this weird Elijah-Elisha story, this cool mashup. I'm going to briefly just tell you. All right, so we have this guy named Elijah. All right, it's pretty common name, pretty simple. We got that, a guy named Elijah. Elijah is a prophet. So God basically just sends him to do stuff. He has these messages. Normally the prophet job wasn't a good one. Everybody kind of hated him. Hey, y'all are messing up. God's not happy with you. He's going to destroy you if you don't change. So the prophet's not like a glamorous job. That is what Elijah is. This is set up like a classic Hollywood movie. You have Elijah is like good, and he's representing the good side. And then you have a very clear bad side, and that is there is a king at this time. Israel is split in half. It's two different countries. Right? And there's this king over one of them, and he stops worshiping God. He's like, look, I get that whole Yahweh thing. Forget that. And he stops worshiping God because I think a lot of people can relate to this, because his wife doesn't want to worship God. And so suddenly he's like, all right, I'll just go with her, whatever. His wife worships this guy named Baal. His wife worships that guy. So the king's like, yeah, dude, let's do this thing. Let's start worshiping that. So the entire kingdom switches. It's no longer praising God. It's no longer this kingdom built on the fact that they follow Yahweh, like that is their thing, stops doing that. And that's where Elijah, look, that's a little crazy, we can't do that anymore. God's not super happy with that, obviously. So we have this epic back and forth, literally like a movie. Like Elijah will come up, there's the pinnacle of the Elijah career is Elijah comes on top of this mountain and he's soaked in water on fire, right? He's like, he calls down fire from heaven that catches this altar soaked with water on fire, and then all of Baal's prophets end up dying by the sword, is how the Old Testament calls it. But all of Baal's prophets, 450 prophets die. This miraculous experience. Oh my gosh, God is so great. But still, the people do not believe. People are not convinced. At that point, I don't know. If I saw, you know, like David Blaine mind freak kind of stuff coming down, I'd be like, all right, touche, I believe in you, Yahweh. They do not. All right. So Elijah is dejected. He has lost hope. He's like, I literally called fire from heaven, and it was not enough. What could I possibly do? I have failed. He's miserable. So he goes off in the desert. He just gives up. He wanders off in the desert, right? Elijah's like, all right, I'm out. I'm done. Obviously, I'm a failure. And he's sitting in the desert, and he's like, God, you might as well just kill me. I can't do this. I can't get it done. All right? He is at the depths of prophecy. He is entirely given up. And an angel comes to him and says, whoa, buddy, let's send you to a mountain and talk about this. All right, because God talks on mountains, it's a thing. So he goes to this mountain, and that's where we have this passage. This is kind of where that's situated within this large narrative arc. So Elijah, prophet, awesome, super woo, burning things. And then, oh no, I failed. And now we're here. All right? And so the rest of the time, I kind of want to go through this story with Elijah and Elisha and get into the actual Elisha thing. But I think it's interesting that this passage starts with Elijah at his lowest, with Elijah having given up. Elijah looks around and he says, this world is broken and there's nothing I can do about it. Elijah looks at the world and says, oh my gosh, how can it be this corrupt? He says, how can people be this bad? And he feels alone. And he feels like it's hopeless. Whatever I do, it doesn't matter. Have you guys ever felt like whatever I do, it doesn't matter? You're just in the situation, you're like, I'm screwed. It doesn't matter. I'm done. Nothing I can do. That is the state that Elijah is in. All right, that is where Elijah finds himself, in looking around the world and seeing injustice and seeing brokenness and seeing people that just don't get it. God says, hang on, I got you. And so we have this story of God talking to Elijah, and there's a lot that's said about the whole whisper and mountain and earthquake and all that. I don't really care about all that. But God comes and he tells him, hey, Elijah, hang on. And in one sentence, he reminds Elijah that it's going to be okay. He says, Elijah, go find Elisha. All right, and so what's happening in that sentence? Two things are happening in that sentence. First of all, the word Elisha literally means God will save. All right, so he's reminding Elijah, I'm God. Like, I got you. He's saying, I am bigger than all. I am beyond your problems because I am God. God will save. Just period. But then he's connecting Elijah to a story that Elijah would be really familiar with, because the name Elisha is another form of the name Joshua. So it's like how William and Bill are like MJ. Like, it's another form of that name. And so he's connecting Elisha to Joshua. And Elijah was a good little Hebrew boy. Elijah knew Joshua was famous. Moses, all right? Four characters today. We're just going to run through the whole Old Testament. Joshua is a big deal because he followed Moses. Does anyone know who Moses is? Can anyone tell me who was Moses? He led the Israelites out of Egypt. Did he do anything else? Was he other anything else? The Ten Commandments. All right. Tell me, whoa, we get it. You pay attention to Bibles. Whoa, someone else, Sarah. What else? He played most different Moses. Different Moses. So we got, he who did the Ten Commandments. He's the one who led the Israelites out of Egypt. There's a real famous thing where he like parts some Red Sea or something. He's the one, he calls down manna from heaven. All these miraculous things, right? And, well, you know, I kind of get that. I did some cool stuff too. But here, this is what God is reminding of Elijah. Moses is not the one who actually got the people into the promised land. Right, this is a subtle detail. It was this guy named Joshua, right? His successor. Moses never completed the mission. He was supposed to get the people out of Egypt and into the promised land. He never got the people into the promised land. So at this time, God's saying, hang on, we've been here before. You know how this is going to work. You know how this plays out. There's a Joshua. There is someone who is going to continue your work. You might feel like you failed, but that doesn't mean that, you know? God is beyond generational because God created generations. God is the kind of God that comes over and says, it's okay if it's not in your lifetime because it's going to be in my lifetime. And my lifetime is eternity. That is what he's reminding of Elijah. And so Elijah's like, all right, cool. And so he goes and he finds Elisha because God told him. God told me to do something, I would do it too. He finds this guy Elijah because the story wasn't over with him. And that is what I want to talk about today. That the story is not over with us. And that is an incredible, incredible thing. All right, so he goes and he finds Elisha. And he does this weird thing where he throws like a robe on him. It's really like a weird necklace stole thing. But so he throws this piece of clothing on him, right? Which is a standard greeting, I guess. That's what I do all the time. Like, here's a shirt. But no, he goes up to him. And what is going on in that situation is, that was the mark of a prophet. Prophets wore these special little garments. So it's kind of like how sometimes preachers wear like robes and little collar things, or like NFL players wear a helmet. That's how you know they're an NFL player. Things like that. The prophet wore this stole thing. And so he is throwing that on Elisha. And so Elisha goes, oh man, this guy wants me to be a prophet. If you will. He's saying dibs. All right? He is for his team. All right? I'm going to work you through the rest of the story for another minute or so, and then we're going to talk about it. But this next part is my favorite part. So he drafts, he says, come on into the fold, And Elisha's response, this is very insignificant to the story, but beautiful. Elisha's response is, let me have a barbecue, because Elisha's a good guy. I relate to that. I appreciate that. Elisha says, hang on. See, everybody's going to tell you, like, if you read a commentary, it's like he's trying to get rid of his connection to his life or whatever. No, it's because he's a dude. And he's like, I'm saying goodbye. Let's have a barbecue with my friend. Elisha does that and goes off with Elijah. They head off into the wilderness, and they are prophet buddies, essentially. That is their life, right? So what is happening in this story, and how does it connect with us today? How does that help us today? Basically, it reminds us the importance of discipleship and legacies, right? Like, that is what this story is all about. This story is all about a man of incredible faith realizing, my faith isn't the only faith that matters. I need to pass that on. The best thing you can do with faith is pass it on. Maybe one of the best things you can do with faith, I'll temper that. One of the best things with faith is pass it on. And that is exactly what Elijah's doing. He's saying, my faith is so much more powerful if I give it to someone else. You know? And the cool thing is, this isn't the only time this happens in the Bible. Our entire Bible is stories of people giving other people their faith. You know, you have the Moses and Joshua thing where Moses says, empower you, go do this thing. Joshua goes into the promised land, right? But you have that story after story. We've heard a lot of them, of people going and saying, here's my faith. Let me teach you about my God. Let me show you my Jesus, and passing it on from generation to generation. That's why we have a faith. You know, that's why, have you ever thought about, like, how did the Bible survive? It's because for so long, people passed on what they knew to be true about God. And it wasn't just like special Moseses and Elisha. It was normal people. It was the people. I love the stories where and he'll heal someone. He'll heal like he'll heal a leper, or he'll heal someone who's crippled, or whatever. He'll heal them, and then it says, and then they went and told people about it, and people believed. Right? It's that transition. These are just normal people that have been transformed by God. God has come into their lives and he has made them new, and it's such an impactful thing. They cannot help but tell everyone about it, and everyone believes because of it. Right? What an incredible, incredible witness. And the truth is, that is why we are all sitting here today. You are in this room because at some point someone told you about their faith. I don't know who it was. It could have been Nathan and Carrie. It could have been a pastor. It could have been your mom or your dad or an uncle or a lady who you went to church with or someone at some point shared their faith with you, and most likely more than one person shared their faith with you. And that is why you today are sitting in this room saying, I want to get closer to God. We are all witnesses that for thousands of years, Jesus made disciples who made disciples who made disciples who made disciples who made Eddie. We, for thousands of years, are witness to the testament of sharing your faith. And it's such an incredible thing to see. And the power of that, you know, the power of it. It takes a lot of pressure off of us, honestly. You always get that pressure. I've got to fix everything. I'm looking around. I'm seeing this broken world. Well, maybe I don't have to cure the world. Maybe I just have to teach someone about God. You know, that one relationship, that one connection. That is what God is asking us to do. That's what God asked Elijah to do. He said, Elijah, I know that you feel hopeless, and I know that your world feels chaotic. All I want you to do, find somebody and tell them about your faith. That's it. And the cool thing is if we continue the story, Elijah didn't just like walk up to him and say like, hey, here's a podcast I need you to listen to, or like, hey, come to church with me, or like, hey, do you have a second to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What he did was Elijah walked up to him and he said, hey, I'm going to hang out with you every single minute of every single day, like two or so, the Bible doesn't say, I'm going to guess, like two or so years, and I'm going to really show you what my faith is. It was a relationship, right? Elijah connected with Elisha through a relationship and said, I care about God and I care about you enough that I'm going to invest in you. I'm going to spend time with you, and I am going to legitimately care about you so that you cannot just see, my faith isn't just words and it's not just something I can give you on a postcard. My faith is my life. My faith is, our Christianity is a lifestyle. It is a way of existence. And Elijah said, it's going to take some time for you to get that. Come on, buddy, let's do this thing. He took him, and he cared about him, and he, right? That's what Jesus did with the disciples. I always wonder, like, why didn't Jesus just, like, come, die, everything's good? Why did he spend so much time talking? Like, come on, Jesus, you're more efficient than that. It's because relationship. Jesus built that connection with the disciples over 3 years and said, guys, faith is more than just like catchy little fortune cookie sayings. Faith is you seeing me heal people on the Sabbath and having to wrestle with that. Me get angry in a temple and flipping tables. Faith is you seeing the layers of my love for people that I should never even talk to. And you have to interact with it, right? And the crazy thing is, I think we all know this because we do this. We do this about things we love. Oh my God, if I was as good about evangelizing God as I was about evangelizing Netflix, like everyone would be a Christian. You know, like, oh my gosh. So I love Game of Thrones. Cecilia does not. But man, the first time I saw Game of Thrones, I was telling everybody like, oh my gosh, have y'all seen it? They have dragons. Like, are you kidding me? Like, they have all the swords. It's great. But then it's like, hey, so were you going to church? Oh yeah, it's cool. It's a thing I do. You're like, we do it. We share it. We are built in a world of, let me share this on Instagram. That doesn't Snapchat. Oh my gosh, let me tell you about how Revolution Donuts opened up in Inman Park and I'm super pumped about it. We are constantly evangelizing things. Just not God, just not our faith. We know that it's true. It's in us. And that's all God's asking us to do is, oh my gosh, tell someone about it. Spend some time. Because hopefully, I don't know, hopefully your faith is transforming your life. Hopefully it's making an impact on you. Hopefully it's more than, I'm going to come and sit here on Sunday morning because like Jordan's cute and so like I want to watch him sing for 20 minutes. Hopefully it's more than that. Hopefully it's God impacting you. And you saying, I changed and I want to share that with everybody else. You know, because the best way to love is to connect them with God. This is the single greatest way. So, you think Jordan's cute too? I know. I can't help it. Is the single greatest thing. And so, it does. He comes up and he says, here's my stole. Let's walk together and let me show you how to do this. Such an incredible thing. I know literally nothing about art. I actually kind of hate artists. It's great. I just don't get it. You know, picture, I'm like, I don't get it. But there's a lot of people that do, and I love that about them. But I don't. It's rough. Cecilia's like, hey, what do you think? I don't care. So I know nothing about what I'm about to talk about. So like art people, I'm sorry when I mess this up. But there is a guy named Donatello, the Ninja Turtle. And there is another guy named Michelangelo, the Ninja Turtle, and they are these famous sculptors, aside from just Ninja Turtles. There are these famous sculptors and painters and all that who were like incredible artists, right? And so Donatello is this super famous sculptor, and he made all these great sculptures of like people and stuff. And Michelangelo also did that, but he also like painted the Sistine Chapel with all the like, you know, like God pointing and stuff, all that, you know, like boop. That is Michelangelo and Donatello. They're apparently thing where if you look at Donatello's sculptures and you look at Michelangelo's sculptures, it looks like it was done by the same person, all right? Like the techniques and like the body positioning and I don't know, like art stuff. Like to me, they look very different, but I am a layman. It looks like it was done by the same person. And so a trained artist person is like, hang on, there's a connection here. Was this the same person? Was this like someone's student? Like, what is this? Fun fact, Michelangelo and Donatello never met. The other one was born. What happened? It's called the missing link of the art world. I don't think I'm going to call it that, the missing link of the art world. There's this guy named Bertoldo di Giovanni. I always want to say Bartolo Colon because I like baseball more than art. Bertoldo di Giovanni is his name. He was a student of Donatello. He sat under Donatello taught him everything he knows. Bertoldo di Giovanni. He probably just picked him because that's like a good name. So he was sitting there. He learned how to sculpt, right? He was a great sculptor in his time, but he is not a Ninja Turtle because he was not like that great. He was just kind of like pretty good. He had a student. That student's name was Michelangelo. Bertoldo learned from Donatello and then passed on to Michelangelo in such a way that it looks like the two were best friends. It was that missing link of a generation, that person that said, I have learned my craft, and I'm going to pass it on. And that is how we get masterpieces like the weird, like, Naked David statue. Is because this guy, Bertoldo di Giovanni something, taught him how to sculpt. What an incredible, incredible example of how powerful our faith can be. So Elijah comes, and he says, Elisha, I believe in you. let me train you. And the rest of the story is, then Elisha goes, and he does it. Elisha does all these incredible miracles. Elisha, like, brings people back from the dead. He, like, cures all this stuff, does this oil thing. But overthrowing the queen, the wife, her name was Jezebel, ends up overthrowing her, getting Baal out, and the people worship Yahweh again because of Elisha. And because Elijah was willing to share his faith, right? They were victorious. And that is our hope. That is our message. When we look around and we say, oh my gosh, the world is a disaster. Or even if we but when we look around, we say, what is my role here? I can't do anything. You can. You can find someone and you can pour into them and you can say, let me show you my God. Let me connect you to my Jesus. And through that, you can create masterpieces. Through that, you can shape the world. I bet that Bartoldo, all of his life, wanted to make an incredible painting. Like, he probably wants to be up in the Louvre somewhere. But he never did. His masterpiece was Michelangelo. Our masterpieces are people that we walk beside daily connecting to Christ. So, when you leave today, you have jobs, all right? Your first job is be Elisha and find someone that can pour into you. I'm here because I want to learn how to did that by seeking out Nathan and Carrie because I think they're good pastors. I found somebody that could pass on their faith to me. Go find someone, whoever that might be, that can pass on their faith to you. That's so important. Hopefully more than one. Let's be real here. Like, Nathan's great, but, like, I need a little bit more help than that. So find more than one. You know, I've got my Pat and Susan, and I've got my Felicia, and these are all names that don't matter to you, but these are names that are significant to me because these are people that I've identified and said, faith into me. Go find that. Go connect with that. Find someone that can empower you. And then the next step is find someone that you can pass your faith to. It doesn't have to be your, like, everybody's like, oh, yeah, my kids. It doesn't have to be your kids. It doesn't, they can be somebody older than you, quite frankly. Everybody always thinks, like, it has to be a younger thing. It can be somebody older, someone at your work, at school, at life, one of your sister's friends, whoever. Find someone and say, I care about you so much that I want to give you my faith. Find that person and pour into them. Because that is the simplest thing that we can do with our faith, is share it. All right? Those are your challenges. Please do not disappoint and go do them. Amen.